It's time for the Berkshire Edge online and on air. You can find the Berkshire Edge at theberkshireedge.com, and you can find them right. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And on a Wednesday morning, you can find them right here on Robinhood Radio. Let's bring in the tag team duo of David Scribner and Marcy Sadler. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, listen, it sounds like all your best students are going to Hotchkiss and Salisbury School.
No. Well, there's an increasing portion of our high school which goes to private schools instead of going to high school. It's up to almost 25% now of the students in the region.
Well, I know, but that skews your, rankings of the students.
Yeah, but you would. Well, I guess the whole thing, what skews the ranking of the students is that the ability to get into college has been really decreased for students who's a tonic because there are no grades. It's either proficient or not proficient. You take a proficient student at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, who's a brilliant student and has got perfect marks, but there's no exam data, and you've got a proficient, and you compare that student against another student that has a high ranking in SATs and everything like that. Housatonic student's going to lose nine times out of ten.
How do you manage that system with the rest of the universe? Yeah, basically,
it's just amazing. I mean, it makes the graduation rates go up and look great at Housatonic, proficient or non-proficient, but it does nothing for you to excel, for you to get into a better school when you're in a competitive situation. That's the danger that Housatonic now faces. But we can lead off with going into.
That's south of the border.
We have a wall, though.
That's right. Donald Trump wants to build a wall here. Let's go into Massachusetts now, and I like your headline here. What is it lately with principals of Monument Mountain Regional High School? With less than a year under his belt, the current principal has announced he's resigning.
Yeah, Doug Wine just announced that rather suddenly that he's leaving, so the school committee is going to have to scramble to find a replacement for him, kind of on short notice. He has some personal issues with his family that he has to take care of, so that's the reason he's having to leave. But still, it's been a difficult run ever since Marianne Young, who was the principal at Monument Mountain Regional High School for so long, left a few years ago. They've had, I think, three high school principals in the meantime. Haven't been able to find someone who wants to stay or can stay. So, I would think that's a little troubling for, the administrators in the school system and the parents.
I was going to say that a committee should be formed to find out really what is the problem. You know, what causes principals?
Well, both the last two who stayed only for a year had really legitimate explanations. I mean, the woman last year was offered a much bigger job in Vermont, right?
Yep.
Vermont. Hard to turn down. This guy he left his wife in Arizona, I think it was, and they assumed that his wife would travel, would relocate and be with him here. But I guess there have been some family problems and illnesses and stuff. They were planning to come here to be closer to their parents, but something has happened in Arizona, a family problem, and she can't relocate. And I guess he feels that he prefers to go back and live with his wife rather than continuing. I mean, both of these are sort of understandable circumstances. They're not necessarily a problem.
Performance,
right.
Yeah, or performance or a problem with the school.
It's a problem with the school's advanced preparations looking at.
I was just wondering about the search committee.
Right.
I mean, do you have runners-up or do you have, back in the day.
Well, I think they're going to have to start the process
all
over again.
right.
You know,
and they should look at refining, refining and adding some different standards in there so they can do a little bit better investigation.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, a little bit more thorough. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Due diligence.
Due diligence and trying to find somebody who actually wants to
stick around.
Not use this as a stepping stone for someplace, but actually wants to
live,
live here.
Who wouldn't want to live in the Berkshires? That's the whole thing. Yeah. But then again, that's what makes people different, I guess. I want to go on to your next story because I think this is a problem that has plagued the region up there for a while. That's with the recent arrest of a Great Barrington police officer for operating under the influence on the Massachusetts Turnpike, the second time he's been arrested for that. I mean, that's a big indicator of a problem, the department not handling it properly.
Yeah, this has been going on for a number of years. Yeah. This is the second time that this individual has been... His name is Daniel Bartini. Has been caught driving under the influence, and you know, sometimes it in the past it's resulted in some rather. There was a case where a Great Barrington police officer was killed after he left bar in Lenox and was driving. At a high rate of speed and lost control of his car and was killed. Smashed into a tree a few years ago.
Right. So there's clearly
an alcohol problem here with among the police, you know. And Bartini is just the tip of the iceberg, I think.
Yeah, I'm 66, and I can tell you that there's been an alcohol problem up, and that was with police officers, either in Great Barrington or Sheffield, for a while. I mean, a long while. I think you're right when you say this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I think it is, and you know, and excuse me, it's really a shame that, of course, these guys are out arresting people for drunken driving. You know, so it doesn't do much. It really erodes the credibility of the department and of, you know, law enforcement here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's when you erode the credibility, that opens up a whole different avenue of people who are affected by those who patrol the roads. So,
yeah. You know, these guys are armed, you know, and they're driving around drunk.
It's a little scary.
And they're supposed to be the.
He's got a Glock, according to this report. He's got a Glock, you know, a Glock pistol with 10 rounds of ammunition, you know.
It's not a good situation, that's for sure.
Well, now here's the thing. Bail was set at $40.
Unbelievable.
Right.
You know, hello? That were you or me? I think it might be 10 times that, maybe
I would say 100 times that, I would say maybe? Probably $5,000. Yeah, I would probably say a $5,000 bail would be set for you.
Yeah.
Yep. Driving drunk and having a loaded pistol in the car, you're easily looking at a $5,000 bail. Easily.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
So he's fined. Bail was set at $40.
All right.
Well, my.
I want to move on to your next story because because it's got some.
We don't have to say anything about it. It speaks for itself.
But your next story is great because to me, the story we're going to talk about now is that the state of Massachusetts is going to spend $20 million to upgrade the Housatonic Railroad track and roadbed from Pittsfield to the Connecticut line. Now, I don't think that the state of Massachusetts would do that. Unless somewhere, somehow, the state of Connecticut has indicated.
I hope so.
I don't see why Massachusetts would spend that money.
One would wonder.
Yeah, if Connecticut somewhere in the background doesn't have plans now to improve the Housatonic Railroad bed from the Connecticut line down to where down to Danbury. I mean,
right.
You're not going to spend that money. You're not going to throw it away if another state's not going to do something to match it.
This is I don't know. I wouldn't go so far as to say that.
Well, one would hope, because who wants to take a train from Massachusetts to the end of Massachusetts and not be able to go any further?
That's the whole thing.
The dream is that, this morning I was driving right by those tracks, and this welded rail and big, there are many, many brand new ties, stacked along the roadbed of the railroad, so that are going to be installed. So they're going to have a more reliable and safe and roadbed and tracks, and it's going to be able to deal with perhaps passenger service. I mean, we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
If that ever comes to pass, but that is the dream of many of us here.
That
we'd be able to revive the old trains to New York City from the Berkshires.
I'm telling you, this is the first step towards that. There's no way I can't believe the state of Massachusetts, with the need to spend money in other locations and doing other things, would plop down $20 million on a bet that's going to not do anything really. So it's
well, you
it's,
see, the first thing that happened was that the state bought. Last year, actually bought the roadbed. The state owns it.
Yep.
And they leased the tracks to the Housatonic Railroad, whose headquarters, by the way, are in Canaan.
Yep.
Right at the corner of Route 7 and what? Route 40 there?
Yeah, Route 7 and 44.
Right.
Come together.
7 and 44.
But
right at kitty corner from the rail station. We'll see what there's been over the last 10 years or so. There's been many proposals for upgrading those tracks and providing serious and frequent passenger service to Grand Central Station.
There was a
professor, Jim Shepard, at Williams College who did it.
Steve Shepard.
Steve Shepard at Williams College, who did an economic study to say that it would be a huge boon to Connecticut and Massachusetts if they upgraded these tracks and made it possible to actually have commuter service to New York City. So,
We'll have to see what happens. I really think that this is the first step. Once this is underway. I cannot see Connecticut not doing the same thing, and we'll see what happens. Because there's no way that Massachusetts is going to do a bridge to nowhere. Okay, that's
right.
Basically what you're talking about. If nothing happens in Connecticut, it is a bridge to nowhere.
Right.
So
definitely.
So we'll see what happens with it. I mean, I guess in Alaska they built that bridge to nowhere, so you never can tell. All right. So let's go on to
it's possible.
Yeah. Anything's possible in politics. Anything. All right. Town meeting time in the Berkshires and Great Barrington.
Yeah. we have on Monday is Great Barrington's town meeting, which is. As people know, the government in New England is, or Massachusetts anyways, is run by the annual town meeting, and the select board is actually just the agent of what is decided at that town meeting.
Same thing here in Connecticut. Connecticut.
Among other things that are going to be decided, besides the routine budgetary items and our allocation to the school districts, is an effort to rescind our ban on single-use plastic water bottles, which we passed last town meeting, and some people are upset about that. So they
Now, we've talked about this.
Yeah, I know.
With you ad infinitum, probably.
But we also have the week after the town meeting is our town elections, so that new officers for the Board of Selectmen are being chosen. And this year there are three candidates for two vacancies. So we'll see what happens. And there's already it's going to be a very lively, I think, election season for those two posts.
There's nothing.
We also have elections elsewhere. I mean, we have.
Yeah.
There's also a highly contested race in Egremont.
Yep.
Two people running for the same seat. One of whom is a woman named Lucinda Vermeulen, who owns and runs the store Kenver, and who has been very active on the planning board, and now she's running for select board. And so, but that's quite a contested race as well.
So, anyways, it's town meeting season in the Berkshires.
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
All right.
Norman Rockwell depicted in a very famous painting of fellow
freedom of speech
with a fellow in a leather jacket just getting up to have his say at a town meeting, which was the symbol of freedom of speech and democratic government, I might add.
Well, absolutely.
Yes, why doesn't Connecticut emulate us? That's what I want.
Well, Connecticut does. Connecticut does have town meetings, and it does. That's the great thing about it. You're absolutely right. Lots of decisions can be made by select boards, but in the end, the final decision is up to the voters.
Up to the people.
All right.
Well, and their decisions can be challenged, too. I mean, by petition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of signatures, and you can challenge a select board decision by having a special town meeting.
It happened in Kent years ago. The select board came up. They came up for the vote for a fire department. It passed. Petitions against it. It was defeated. Petitions against that. It passed. That's the way you can do it. That's the way it happens when you have town meetings, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's making sausage. You know, it's not the most beautiful thing when you see it happening, but the results are just fine.
Well, yeah,
well,
you know,
results are what we want, even if you don't agree.
Yeah.
And you know, people are involved and engaged and really have a say in their town government and in the decisions that are made, right around them. So this is really important.
All right. Well, let us move on to the next story because we only have about 2.5 minutes left.
Right.
And that is you've started a weekly video series.
Oh, yes, and it's well worth watching.
Yeah, this is a series that we're doing in conjunction with the Railroad Street Youth Project. And they're talking about kids talking about drug use and substance abuse, and it's really interesting to hear them, and it's sort of an appeal from it's a discussion in video on between parents and kids about drug use and substance abuse. And it's really interesting and I hope instructive and will help alleviate the opioid crisis that we're all facing.
All right, I want to go on to, because we only have about a minute and a half left, your last story. The conversion of the former Sears Middle School in the heart of Great Barrington into an upscale hotel. I believe that these projects are absolutely amazing.
If this one gets done.
Which we've been talking about.
It will be amazing.
Bridge Street is really becoming quite the development corridor with a brand new co-op going on, and just down the road a little bit is the old middle school.
Yeah.
Searles Middle School, which has been proposed as an upscale hotel, and it's gone through many, many iterations, but its current owner and developer, Vijay Mehta, believes that, they're still on track to convert this into a nice hotel and with a pool and a spa.
You need a nice place to stay when you come to Great Barrington to buy your marijuana from other states. I'm laughing, but I'm telling you, I really believe it's going to be a boon to the economy that way, where people come in from other states, they come and they know, and there's a limit they can buy, so they stay for a couple of days.
Right.
And they move on. And the people that come to buy marijuana, we all know, are not kids and poor people. You look at that line. They're nice cars, and they're none from Massachusetts.
No, they're all coming up here from Connecticut.
And New York.
What's wrong with your life up
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
All right. Well, those stories and more are at the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com. We will speak to you guys next week.
You bet.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is it for this week in the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robinhood Radio.